Good morning and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and we're gathered here today as we say goodbye to our dear sister in Christ, Imogene Coling. And today, as we gather, we know that we focus on the things that are unseen, not just the things that we see before our eyes, not just the casket, not just death, but we focus on the things that are unseen. We focus on the fact that the Lord has fulfilled his baptismal promise to Imi, and she is before his throne, and one day we will be with her. And so we gather together not as those who mourn with no hope, but we mourn, and we mourn together with joy and hope in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Today, as we gather, we'll be using this yellow bulletin for our order of worship. And everything that you'll need for the service will be found here, except for the words to the hymns. Those you will find in the burgundy-colored hymnal in front of you. And as we begin this morning, we're going to have our opening hymn, which is How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. It's number 524, and we will sing together the first four verses of 524. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In holy baptism, Imogene was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all her sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." The Psalms are found in the front portion of the hymnal. We will now turn to Psalm 23. And we will speak the words of this psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Imogen and to all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading today comes from the book of the prophet Job, chapter 19, beginning with verse 23. Oh, that my words were written! Oh, that they were inscribed in a book! Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever! For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the epistle reading comes from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke, we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, various verses beginning with verse 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This time we will join together in speaking the words of our faith, the same faith that Aimee shared with us. And this morning we will be using the words of the Apostles' Creed. If you need the words, they are printed for you on the back flap of the hymnal. We confess together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This time I'm going to invite the current members of our Ladies' Aid to remain standing. The rest of the congregation may be seated. As we honor the time that Aimee spent serving in the Ladies' Aid here at Trinity, our current members will remain standing and they will help to lead as we all sing together, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." It is hymn number 770. Thank you, ladies. You may be seated. To the family and friends of Imogen Kohling, to those who are gathered here today to celebrate her life of faith, as well as to mourn its earthly end, and especially to you, Dennis and Lisa and James, Imogen's beloved children, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll never forget the first time that I met Imogen. I was actually brand new here at the time, just got to town. It was a little over a year and a half ago. Actually, I did double check my Google Calendar. It was literally my fifth day on the job. And I was having a conversation with Jane in the office, and she was telling me about this lady that she called Aunt Imogen. And this lady had apparently been in the hospital and, you know, was home and hadn't been feeling very good, and she wanted to meet her new pastor, and she needed to be cheered up a little bit. So I got in the car, and I had to put the address into Google Maps, even though it's not far away and it's easy to get to, but I didn't know where anything was at the time, so I'm making my way over there, and I'm, you know, kind of wondering in my head, you know, how is this visit going to go? Because I really didn't know anything. All I knew was just that this woman that I had never met before hadn't been feeling good for a while, and so I didn't really know what to expect. I rolled up to the house. I thankfully saw the Kohling Farm sign out there. That helped me find it. And Lisa, you were there, and you met me. You had been in town for a few days helping out. And so we're making our way into the living room, and honestly, I was just feeling just a little anxious. Just, I didn't know what to expect. I thought maybe somebody who had been in pain for a while, you know, maybe they'd be a little grumpy. Or, you know, maybe they'd be mad at the Lord or something, and then mad at the pastor because of that. I didn't know what to expect. But you guys that all know Imogen so well, you know that that's absolutely the last thing I found in that room. Imogen was sitting there in her recliner, and she had the biggest smile on her face, and we just had the greatest visit. You know, we just talked about all kinds of things. She shared with me so many different things about the family and talked about Roger and showed me pictures of the two of them together. And I just felt like we had just a wonderful connection that day. And I guess, you know, just looking back on that experience and on all of the experiences that I had visiting her since then, boy, it was really silly to be feeling anxious and nervous, thinking that I would encounter anything negative talking to Imogen. I mean, she really was one of the sweetest ladies I'd ever met in the entire world. And, you know, she was like that all the time. It didn't really matter what was going on, if she didn't feel very good or anything like that. She always had this big smile. And it always seemed like anybody who went to visit her that would try to cheer her up, they ended up being the ones that were cheered up. At least that was my experience for sure. That's just the way she was. But man, it's no secret that she had to go through a lot in her lifetime. She went through quite a bit. You know, we know that this world is filled with all kinds of bad news. You know, we know that because of the sin that exists in the world and the sin that exists within us, we are used to it. We're used to the fact that things don't always go according to our plans. We're used to the fact that we get disappointed in things at times. And yet, for some reason that only the Lord knows and understands, it seemed like Imogen had to go through a lot more than most other people had to. She seemed to be hit harder, hit more often. And I'm not going to spend time reading off a list of all the bad things that ever happened to Imogen. It's not why we're here today. But you just think of some of the big things, you know, like dealing with the tornado that hit the farm, or dealing with some of the big, you know, health issues that have come up in the family, or just even in this last few years, losing Roger. This last year was tough. All the bad news that seemed like we had to keep giving Imogen, right? The fact that her cancer had come back with a vengeance, the fact that Ralph and then Arlene passed away within just a few months of each other. And I know, like, she would say it was kind of an unsettling feeling for her to be the last sibling left. All of these things, how much can one person take? And yet, every single time I would go to visit her, there she was, with that smile on her face, with that laughter that just lit up the room, with her uncanny ability to be just so positive and so strong, even though she was going through so much. Aimee's confirmation verse is printed for you on the first page of the bulletin. It's right there at the top. And it was also part of our gospel reading that I read just a few moments ago. And this was the scripture that was given to her when she was confirmed in Hoffman back in 1953. These are Jesus' words in John chapter 10. I'm going to read these again to you. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." What a perfect verse for somebody who definitely saw more than her fair share of problems in this life. Because this verse is a constant reminder that there isn't a single thing that can take us away from our good shepherd. No amount of bad news can take away the greatest news, the gospel, which is right here, which promises Aimee and promises us too that we will never perish. Even though the body of our sister Imogene lays right here in front of us, even though death is staring us in the face today, even physical death is not something that could take Aimee away from her good shepherd. And she lived every day listening to his voice. And she relied on him to lead her through the valley of the shadow of death, to the green pastures, to the still waters, to the restoration of her soul. And I'm fully convinced that it's that strong faith that she had in Jesus that is what made it possible for her to continue living her life in such a positive way, even though she had to face difficult things. Knowing that nothing could snatch her out of her Savior's hand is what allowed Aimee to use her gifts and talents and personality to bring joy into other people's lives. Believing that Jesus had given up so much for her is what made her willing to make lots of sacrifices of love for other people around her. In this last week or so, since she passed away, I've had several conversations with people, kind of just, you know, picking their brains and asking, you know, what are some of your favorite memories of Aimee? And it's just interesting because it seems like almost every single person remembers her first and foremost as a joyful servant. For 15 years, she served the children of this community as the driver of what I understand to be the cleanest school bus ever. And so many people have come up to me and told me how they just remember loving having her as a school bus driver. And I was really impressed by hearing that, you know, she would make gifts for the children at Christmas. Not just buying them gifts, right? But she would actually make them gifts. And my father is a school transportation company owner, so I know lots of bus drivers. I've known lots of bus drivers over my years. I have never heard of this. I've never heard of somebody going above and beyond to this degree where they would actually make things for the kids on the bus. That's how much love she showed to them. And, you know, it's just the kind of person she was. She's not afraid of doing hard work, going above and beyond, going the extra mile if it means bringing joy to somebody else. She worked so hard on the farm. She worked hard gardening. She would raise that sweet corn. She would give most of it away. She could sew anything, and she had a love for quilting. And we see some of the quilts that are on display up here this morning. And she used those gifts and talents to bless others, you know, to make Halloween costumes and to make the beautiful quilt that she made for the Washington County anniversary and things like that. She played in the chime choir up here in church, and that was one of her greatest joys. Even though she would claim that it was really hard for her to learn how to play that music, she just loved being with you folks up there in the choir, and she loved making music for the Lord. And what a blessing it was that just a few days before she passed, she got to hear those chimes one more time as you guys went out to the nursing home and played for her. I know that she really greatly appreciated that, and we're all going to get to hear that in just a few moments as well. You just look at the obituary, you see things like she was a blood donor that gave 12 gallons of blood in her life. I mean, all of these things are just acts of love and service, every single one of them, but all of them were made possible only because of the one who calls his sheep to follow him. The shepherd who donated way more than just 12 gallons of blood, but who gave up his very life for Imee, for all of us upon the cross. It was that single greatest act of love and sacrifice on the part of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads us back to that promise that's tucked away there in her confirmation verse. Just very simple promise, but it's profound. When Jesus says that his sheep will never perish, you will never perish, I will never perish, and even our sister Imogene, whose body we are about to lay to rest in just a few moments, she will never perish. Imee is alive and well today. She's feeling a lot better than she has in a long time. Her soul is now in the presence of her good shepherd, because even death itself is not something that could snatch her out of his hand. And she faced this sickness, this disease, in the same way that she faced every other trial in her life. Headstrong, confident, and brave, and with a smile on her face on top of it all. Because she knew, because of Jesus, her battle against cancer was not something that she could even lose. Friends, I know that for some of us, it might seem difficult to even imagine what a future without Imee in it might look like. And so let me just encourage you with the same hope that she had. This cannot and will not snatch you from your shepherd's hand. Someday we will all be standing before the throne of the Lamb with Imee and with Roger and with all of the saints who have gone before us, because whether we live or die on earth, we are the sheep of his pasture. And Jesus gives his sheep eternal life, and they will never perish. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And now at this time, we will hear the chimes that Imee loved so much. Thank you. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace, Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy. Give to the family of Imogene and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our thanks for Imogene and for all the blessings you bestowed on her in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with her we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life, and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn is "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want." It's hymn number 710. You may be seated.